Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Al Stewart.
Captured an orbit of the ominous of Mars. Marching to the sound of the drum in my head. I followed the call. Only to be Malachi Constant. I thought I came to the sun. The Sirens of Titan, yes! Then they leave. But, okay, if you haven't read it, it's all set in outer space, and it makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, I could be singing it in Norwegian, about the same thing for you. So why start with it? And there is a reason. The reason is that nobody listens to the first song. They're saying, oh, he's still alive. Has he got any hair left? they're saying things like this. So actually the concert starts here. We're going to be traveling around the world a lot. I do, my songs are, obviously everyone knows I write songs about history, but you know, they're also geographical. And the first stop is the most unlikely place I could think of, which is the South Pole. And in 1903, a group of crazy people decided they'd go to the South Pole because no one had been there before. And the British elected to send a Captain Scott, and they said, I've got to do an Admiralty. I've got to do an Admiralty voice, I think, you know. Circa 1903. Fortunately, I've studied this stuff, so I can. Scott! I'd like you to, go to the South Pole. When you get there, plant the Union Jack. And, come here. So, that's an advantage. So, Scott trots off to the South Pole, and he was supposed to take three people with him. He took four, and they all died on the way home. And that made him a national hero. Because in England, it's more important to die trying to do something than to actually achieve it. So Scott did that. And he was followed by an Irishman called Shackleton. Ernest Shackleton's a name I hate after I met him. And so Shackleton goes off to the, and he never gets there. He makes three attempts on the South Pole. Never does it. And so they're both in this next song, and the song is called Antarctica, and contains Scott and Shackleton, and by now you're absolutely convinced you know what this song is about, but you don't, because English folk singers are very tricky, and we love extended metaphors. So this isn't about that at all. This is actually about a very cold woman who wouldn't sleep. Antarctica. Well, you've already met our flute player, and Josh has told you that he comes from Buffalo. He comes from Buffalo. Probably has some extended family here tonight, so be sure you cheer his solos. All right, so, well, all of that brings us, obviously, to the French Revolution.
Thank you.
wondering why it echoes through the lonely palace of the sun. All comments I've heard in the past. So we have to play a song that, you know, like for people who came here by accident and don't know what's going on. That's the beginning of I Feel Fine by the Beatles. I know how to do it. All right, let's do this one. Thank you. guns and guns across the Spanish border. The wind whips up the waves so loud, the ghostman sails among the clouds, turns the white guns into silver on the border. And I wore the colors of the marks of mine. From Africa, the wind's leg track of change is coming. Torches flare up in the night. The hand that sets the bombs alive has spread the word to those who are waiting on the border. In the village where I grew up, nothing seems the same. You never see the change from day to day. No one notices the customs slip away. And last night the rain was knocking on my window. I moved across the dark and abandoned the landfill. For I saw down on the street the spirit of the sunshine telling us we're all standing on the border. In the islands where I grew up, nothing seems the same. The pattern just remains an empty shell. The strangeness in the air you feel too well. Fishing boats go out across the evening water. Swing on guns and arms across the Spanish border. The wind whips up the waves so loud, the ghostman sails among the clouds, turns the white clouds up to silver on the border. On the border. On the border.
Absolutely nobody in rural southern England knew anything about guitars, and So I listened to Duane Eddy, and he had this thing. So I played it for about a month. It was the only thing I knew how to play. And my mother, you know, was going crazy and said, "You have to play something else, otherwise I'm disowning you." And so I had to find a guitar teacher, and I looked around. There was only one other kid. It was this 15-year-old kid who lived in the same village, who I was told played guitar. His name was Robert Fripp. As life would have it, yes. And for those of you who don't know who he is, he formed a band called King Crimson and became quite successful. But when I met him, he was 15. And he was a prodigy. We used to take the bus together, and I said, "Can you teach me the guitar?" And he said, "Yes, sure." So I took 10 lessons off him, and he taught me all these jazz chords that I was never ever going to. Never going to use that in my life, you know what I'm saying? Plus, they hurt my fingers. I said, "Fripp, this is not working. I can't do this." So I said, "Anyway, I want to be a lyric writer." And he said, "There's no future in that." So 40 years later, Fripp was interviewed. And you can't call him Bob. He has to be either Robert or Fripp. It's a rule. And 40 years later, he was interviewed. And they asked him, "You know, you've taught all these people to play the guitar. Did any of them ever become successful?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "One." And he did it by ignoring everything I ever tried to teach him. But not everything, because this is about as jazzy as we get. And I'll do it in honor of my erstwhile guitar teacher. Got your ticket and your hotel keys and your open-eyed bag at your feet. Looking down on the tropical trees while the Spanish and maids pick up the sheets. Conquistador and search your gold for all the chapter reasons. The mind is shallow, so hard to see. Just follow the square of the champagne. I know that when you're well, that's right.
Thank you. tangerines or a lingerie. And then, of course, they told me that they got around, round, round, get around, I get around. I didn't get around, I had a bicycle. I found it all immensely depressing, so I decided eventually, like, I would get out of there and I'd go to California, which I'm still there. And it works. I'm now living my own life. But you don't want to know about that. So I decided that having had completely the wrong childhood, I would write a song about having the right childhood. So this is a song about growing up in America, which obviously I didn't. And it's called A Child's View of the Eisenhower Years, because that's the period in which I was growing up. There are a couple of things you might not get. The beep in the sky, the metal ball that sails through Soviet heaven, there's an oxymoron if ever you heard one. Soviet heaven is of course Sputnik. And in the last verse there's a reference to somebody called Jimmy Jones, who has almost utterly and completely disappeared from American consciousness, despite the fact that he had a couple of absolutely enormous hits. One of them went to number one, it was called Good Timing. So when I say Jimmy Jones and I, we both had good timing, that's what I'm talking about. I didn't make him up, he exists. He went on to do a song called Handyman that was covered by James Taylor. And most people to this day remember James Taylor's version, but Jimmy Jones did the original. So these people will turn up in this song, I'm just telling you, because no one knows who the heck they are. And I like you to be prepared. You're on your way back home in a brand new station wagon. Got a full info, 10 miles to the gallon. Your mother put some makeup on. You watch her brush her ears. It's a child's new in the eyes and the power of ears. Your father knows what's best. No one can stage him. He thinks he's so well dressed. You think it's just outrageous. Elvis on the television, GIs of Korea. It's a child's view of the eyes of power gears. I don't mind the innocent so much, in fact it's charming. The comedians have got a certain touch that's so disarming. Even though the aliens from space on the weekend went to these superheroes keep the symptoms of me safe. There's a beep in the sky in 1957. And the ball that flies through Soviet heaven. And the stream of headlines, politicians nurse the fears. It's a child's view of the eyes of the coming years.
Mutiny on a British naval ship in 1741, and the crew are marooned on this uninhabited island for a long time, and that's how they, you know, how some of them escape. Most of them die, but yeah, I'm giving away the part of the book. And this is, in a way, a naval song. Except, once again, it's an extended metaphor. It's not. It is about shipwreck, yes. But the ship in question is a lover who has left you. And so this is a revenge song. This is what you do. Singer-songwriters can do this. You turn her into an aged wooden ship. And you send her off into the ocean with a hole in the hull. And she gradually sinks down to the seabed, where she's gnawed to pieces by marauding shrimps. Marauding shrimps, yes. So it's actually a very nasty song, and people who listen to it at first blush are inclined to think of it as they take it for granted it's a naval song, and it's not at all, it's a revenge song. And it gets nastier as it goes along. I don't think there's anyone in the audience probably who hasn't had a breakup and hasn't had these thoughts, so this is your song.
Chance, they will bear
when the timbers crack on the dock and the rolling sea. Back like yesterday. this line. Standing in the back way, into movies after school. What evening show? Chasing skinny blue jean girls across the world in sight. Checking out the dance floor while the band played hold tight. See the one woman over there, I bet she'd be alright. It all comes back like yesterday's. That was a song called Modern Times. It's the title track of my sixth album. I guess in America it was my third. The first four, I don't think, came out in America. They're not very good. Well, I shouldn't say that. Some people like them. But yeah, Modern Times. Modern Times kind of put everything together for me. You know, we actually had a great band for the first time, and the solo you just heard Josh play was originally played by a guy called Tim Rennie. And he's a wonderful guitar player. Well, he still is. He spends most of his time in his garden now, but he's a great guitar player. But Josh has got that solo down, and it's so good. Go from the title track of album number 6 to the title track of album number 7. So this is the title track of the album that came immediately afterwards. And this is Erica Brett, who's going to introduce it.
Thank you.
the streams of the night rain, in the rhythm of the newborn day. You know, sometime you're bound to leave, but for now you're gonna stay.
And part of the reason they laugh all the time is that Nate is an extraordinary mimic. And
and he can do a very good Rodney Dangerfield. So I said, okay, I know you can do Rodney Dangerfield, but here's the challenge. Do me a conversation between Rodney Dangerfield and Gollum from The Lord of the Rings. He says, no problem. So here it is.
Oh, hey, jeez, who's this little freak? Let me tell you. Oh, the last time I saw a mouth like that, it had a hook in it. Oh, you're ugly, kid. Don't worry, I'm as ugly as a kid, too. I was so ugly, my mom fed me with a slingshot. Oh, boy, I was so ugly when I went to the proctologist, he put his finger in my mouth. Oh, let me tell you.
Long, fat, funky, stupid comedians. That are precious.
There you go, Al.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very fun band to juggle with. So, yeah, I get to pick the last song. It isn't one that you probably know, but I like it. I don't know if anyone else likes it. But it is the opposite of where we are. I'm in Buffalo, right? I know you get confused. We're in a different town every night. It's hard to keep up, but I think we're in Buffalo. We are in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, town of Wanda. Okay. Town of Wanda. Oh, it rolls off the tongue. I mean, that's a gift. I could write a song about town of Wanda. But Buffalo itself, of course, is very important in hip hop. Who is this? Is this the Bills? All right, okay, I watch the Buffalo Bills too. You know. If only Josh would stop throwing interceptions, you wouldn't. No, I mean, be real. I mean, when he's good, he's the best player in the NFL, you know. When he's not. Yeah, I know all about the Buffalo Bills. But this is about, I once did a study of American presidents, all of them. I always forget Martin Van Buren, I don't know why, but one of them met his fateful end in Buffalo, and that, of course, was William McKinley in 1901. Oh, the room has gone very quiet. But we're going to go back a little bit. In 1896, McKinley ran for the presidency in a unique and unusual way. He was running against William Jennings Bryan, who, you know, ran three times and lost every single time. And I think he even lost the Scopes Monkey Trial, so it's like, you know, there's not much hope for William Jennings Bryan. So McKinley knew he would win. So he said, I'm not going around the country, which everyone in the last 30 years had done, and make speeches from the caboose of the train to, you know, like farmers who couldn't hear him anyway in the middle of nowhere. He said, I'm not doing any of that. It's all nonsense. He said, I'm going to sit on my front porch, and if anybody wants to ask me anything, they can come to me. And it became known as the Front Porch Campaign. And I thought that's a terrific idea, but I translated it into breakups, you know, because you think of things in romantic terms. And I thought the first thing you think when you break up with someone or they break up with you is you're going to chase after them and follow them around the world. And McKinley, of all people in the history of the world, taught me that is the wrong thing to do. What you do is you sit on your front porch, and if they want to come back, they will come back. If you chase them, you're going to drive them further away. And I found that to be true. I mean, probably all of you have had breakups where, I don't know if you're William McKinley or if you're the chasing kind, but McKinley may have lost his life here, but he made an impact on my love life, so. Yeah. Yeah, I know, you've got all these historical lectures, and you still love me, so that's great. But, so this is basically a love song. It's called Like William McKinley.
Yay, Buffalo. How about this?